Christmas, everyone.
Christmas.
I'm so glad you're here because we know it's all about Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
And if we remember that,
yes,
we're going to just have a blessed Christmas. But that's what it's all about when we set our heart and mind upon our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Realizing it's not about the busyness and shopping malls and all the bright lights and all the tinsel and all that. No, it's about Jesus. And if we remember that, prepare to be blessed. Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's bow our hearts before Father God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to you now. We thank you, Lord, for your message that you will speak to us this very morning. And I ask you, Lord, as you prepare our hearts, we're going to be ready to receive. And I pray, Father, as your Holy Spirit's presence abounds in this very place, I pray, Father, we're going to experience an overflowing of your love, your peace, and your joy. Oh, let it be overabundantly flowing into our hearts as our hearts are set upon you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God and praise the Lord. If you take a look at your notes, if you don't have notes, by the way, you can raise your hand and someone will get you notes. Up here, a note. Anyone else? All right. Well, the title of my sermon today is The Wonder of Waiting for Christmas. The Wonder of Waiting for Christmas. You know, I got to tell you, I have fond memories of Christmas as a child growing up in the human household. You know, every Christmas morning, about 7 o'clock, as soon as daylight would break in, my brother and I would rush through the Christmas tree and literally attack. We're in attack mode. We're attacking our Christmas presents. And, you know, gift wrapping paper would be flying everywhere. And as my brother and I would want to see what gift we got. Did we get what we want? You know, there was much delight as we got the most popular toys. I don't know, in the 70s, this popular toy called the Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You know, these plastic robots that go at each other in the boxing ring. Oh, I remember one year my parents got us that. We were so excited. I mean, we were like jumping up and down. And we were so happy that we got that gift. But then, I got to tell you, there were also disappointments. I remember one time, instead of getting the toy that we wanted, we got warm and fuzzy sweaters in pastel colors. It was light blue, I believe. And I was like, what? What are these things? But nevertheless, I got to be honest with you. You know, my childhood understanding of Christmas was all about receiving gifts. Especially, it had to do with me, myself, and guess who? And I. And, you know, I remember we would go to the shopping malls and be so fast, be so busy, and we see all the colorful lights, and we see the Christmas trees, and we're like, oh, this is Christmas. And I remember during that time, if you were to ask me about baby Jesus on Christmas morning, I would probably say, who? And I remember one year when I was 10 years old, my brother and I, we couldn't stand to wait any longer. So we begged our parents to let us open the Christmas presents at midnight because they were telling us, oh, it has to be Christmas Day. Well, midnight is Christmas Day, so can we open it then? And my mom actually agreed to it, and we got to tell you, we started opening presents around midnight, and we didn't go to bed till like around 1:30 in the morning. But I remember, when we woke up in the morning, it just wasn't the same. The excitement was gone, and as our eyes would open and daylight would peep through the windows, we knew the presents were already open. And then as we go to the living room, we know it seemed like a hurricane had attacked our house because, you know, Christmas paper and boxes and everything were all over the place. And I remember I would go on the rest of the day playing with the toys that I liked. But I remember I was lacking joy and excitement like I had in the years past because, you know what, it was no longer there. And as a Christian adult, I had to think about what happened to me as a child when all the focus had been put on myself, had been put on me on a day that really wasn't about me anyway. And I found that I will always set myself up for discontentment and lack of joy when I really think this day is just all about who? Me. I gotta read to you some actual letters that were written to Santa Claus by some very young children. Listen to some of the letters that were written. This is kind of cute. This child writes, "Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. But if you are real hungry, you can use our phone and order a piece of the gold for yourself." Another letter says, "Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time, even though sometimes I can be wild." And another one, this is from a four-year-old. He writes, "I'll take anything you got, Santa, because I haven't been that good." And then this one, it says, "Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot, but here's my list. I want an Etch-a-Sketch animator. I want 2 packs of number 2 pencils. I want Crayola fat markers. And the big gift, my own color TV set." And then she says, "Well, maybe you can drop the pencils. I don't want to be really selfish." Well, I want to ask you some questions here. What are you waiting for this Christmas? Is there anything special that you're hoping to get? Are you dropping hints to your loved ones about that one gift that will make you jump for joy? Do you find yourself constantly daydreaming about that one thing that will make your life complete once this thing is in your hands, possession? You know, in the Gospel of Luke, we come across 2 real people who aren't really well known, but they make their appearance after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one is a man named Simeon, and the other is a woman named Anna. And you won't find them in the nativity scenes or any Christmas cards, but you will soon discover that both of them have important roles to play in the welcoming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there was no doubt that these 2 individuals were anxiously waiting for someone or something to happen in their lives that would change their present circumstances, that would change their lives forever. And that person would be the one to save them and their people from a world that did not offer them any hope. Did you ever find yourself in a situation where it seems like, man, it's hopeless? You're waiting for something to happen so that things would just start turning around. Well, you know, in Luke 2:25, we are told that Simeon was a man who was waiting. And in Luke 2:38, Anna was a woman who was looking forward to. And you know, Luke, he uses a Greek word for waiting, which literally means that they were always alert to his appearance and ready to welcome him. And what exactly were they hoping and waiting for? Well, look at number 1. It says, Simeon was waiting to be comforted. Write in that blank, comforted. And we're introduced in Simeon in Luke 2:25. I'm going to read it to you. It's in your notes. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation." Consolation means comforting, right? "Consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.'" You have to understand something here. During this time, the nation of Israel seemed to be like a lost and confused child, not hearing from their father God at all, as they were being ruled by the Roman government. King Herod was mean and vicious, and he would constantly oppress them and bring much fear and turmoil into their lives. And many of them were wondering, is our Messiah ever going to come? Are we ever going to have that hope, knowing that we will be set free from all of this? And verse 26 shows us that Simeon had a very good reason as to why he never lost hope. It says in verse 26, "It had been revealed to him by" who? "The Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah." And for Simeon, Finding peace and comfort was on the top of his list from what he expected from the Savior. That's what it was, his heart's cry. More than anything, I need peace and comfort from my Savior. And for him and most of his fellow Jews, one of the more popular titles for Messiah was Comforter. They called him my Comforter. And they were longing for the Messiah to come and bring his comfort to them. I gotta tell you, you know, the desire to be comforted is a strong human need. Especially in a time when you're in distress and despair. Oh man, sometimes I can only just be comforted. Sometimes just a hand, just to pat me on the back, say, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Don't we need that kind of comfort sometimes? Comfort that tells us, don't worry. It's gonna be alright. And then as you experience that, you sense a peace, an inner peace in your heart. And you know, the Christmas season is one of those times that can bring forth feelings of loneliness and depression and even suicide for many, especially if the person feels like their pain and sorrow cannot be comforted. Don't you agree? Sometimes it's in the Christmas season that there are a lot of suicides because it brings back memories of the past when they felt loved and they're not feeling that right now. And it's hard. And let me tell you, friends, this often happens when Christ is left out of Christmas. I gotta tell you, you know what really bothers me? When I see people write Xmas. Instead of Christmas, why are you leaving Christ out of Christmas? It's not Xmas. It's Christmas. Christmas is all about Jesus. We can't forget that. Because that's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. And it was the Holy Spirit that had alerted Simeon to go to the temple courts on that day that Mary and Joseph would bring their baby Jesus to the temple. And Jesus was about 6 weeks old at the time, and when Simeon had seen Jesus, he knew that he was Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. Truly, he knew that this was God. Jesus was God with us. The very one that could bring comfort and healing to the nation. And verse 28 says that Simeon, he reached down and he took Jesus out of Mary's arm and began to praise God. And as a parent, I'm sure you would be a little shocked if a total stranger came up to you and took your infant from your arms and started to sing over him. How would you feel if someone did that? But because Simeon was moved by the Spirit, the Bible tells us, Mary and Joseph, because remember, they were filled with the Holy Spirit too. They had encounters with God's angels. They recognized that this was something that was of a God moment. And so they allowed him to do this. And as the praises of heaven came from his lips, he acknowledged that God had not only kept his promise to him, but to all those who had been longing to be comforted by his hand. He realized this is the one. This is the chosen one. This is the Messiah that has come to rescue us. But look at number two. It says, Anna was waiting for forgiveness. Write in your blank, forgiveness. And the other person that day that had a heart filled with the wonder of waiting was a woman by the name of Anna. And the Bible tells us that after her husband had died, she made a lifetime commitment to fasting and praying in the temple. It was as if the temple had become her new home. As she stayed there to worship day and night, the Bible tells us. And both Anna and Simeon had been waiting for the arrival of the same person, but with a different purpose in mind. Instead of looking for comfort, Anna was looking for forgiveness. Look what it says here in Luke 2, 36 to 40. It says here, there was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. want you to know that the word redemption in theological terms means to rescue or to deliver. And in Anna's days, she and her people took in great remembrance of what God had done in the Old Testament Passover, where God had come to set them free from what? Egyptian slavery. But now the Passover would now sit upon their hearts something a little different. They knew that God would come to deliver them from the slavery of their sins, because everything had just kind of run amok. Everyone was doing their own thing and just bent on evil. And now they were waiting for the Savior to deliver them from their sins. And when Anna saw Jesus, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all that were waiting for redemption. But in order to be redeemed, God had to forgive them first. And that meant they had to repent. And Anna was waiting for that. Finally, the one who would save his people from their sins had arrived. And Anna was overjoyed. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus came, he provided the very thing that Simeon and Anna were desperately searching and waiting for, which were comfort and forgiveness. Who needs a little comfort and forgiveness today? Don't we all? Well, let me ask you a question. Is there something that is deep within your heart that you've been longing and waiting for? Whatever it is, I've got to tell you, Jesus can give it to you. He can. Because he loves you and he wants to do it for you. Can you identify with Simeon today? And some of you may be really experiencing a deep hurt right now. You feel as if you're running on empty. You're lonely, you're afraid, you're stressed, and maxed out. Maybe you feel like that. I'm just totally maxed out, God. I can't go on anymore. I hear people telling me this, and I've been there before too. I got to be honest with you. But I held on to Jesus even tighter in those times. Do you need some comfort and counseling? Do you need to experience God's warmth and love's embrace as you call out his name? It's pretty simple. All you do is say, Jesus. Just let the peace of God just flow. That you call out his name from deep within your heart. Because if so, you can find what you're looking for in Jesus. He came to console us right where we are. Yeah, you can go to church, you can go to Bible studies, but you know what? You call on Jesus right where you are. He'll comfort you. Because he knows your hurt. The Bible says he collects our tears in a bottle. He knows what you're going through. And he's just a call away. Just say, Jesus, I need you. He'll be there. His word tells us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Or do you identify more with Anna? Are you bombarded with thoughts of guilt this Christmas because of the poor choices you made this past year or the way you've been living? Do you feel like the devil has entrapped you and you just can't shake off your simple lifestyle? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if you need forgiveness this morning, Jesus can give this to you right now. I can't think of a better time than Christmas to do just that. Just to say, Lord, I want to complain. Lord, I confess of my sins. I want to make it right, Lord. And as you go to the Lord like that, he's going to come and cleanse your soul. Going to make things right in your life as you call on him. So the question now here is in your notes. It says, so what can we do to truly experience God's comfort and forgiveness this Christmas? Well, number one here, it says, take the time to stop and marvel. Marvel is spelled M-A-R-V-E-L. Stop and marvel of the true meaning of Christmas. You have to understand, after Simeon took Jesus into his arms and said all those things about him, verse 33 says that they, meaning Mary and Joseph, right? Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about Jesus. Look what it says here in Luke 2, 33 to 35. It says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. You know, to the dictionary, the word marvel means to be filled with wonder, astonishment, and surprise. I've got to ask you, what are you marveling at this Christmas? Is it that 20-foot Christmas tree with bright, colorful lights and ornaments? Or is it a big, jolly old man in a vibrant red suit? Well, these things, you know, I know children get excited about, but remember, we got to tell our children it's about Jesus. First and foremost, it's Jesus that we are to put our hearts upon. Nothing else. Just realizing it's all about Jesus. And let me ask you, have you heard the Christmas story so many times that it no longer excites or astonishes you? You may hear the Christmas story and go, okay, that sounds nice. Oh, it makes me feel a little good inside. Okay, and that's it. But it doesn't bring a sense of wonder in your mind or in your heart. You have to ask yourself, is Christmas now more of a holiday than a holy day than to you? Because, you know, when we think about holiday, right? Holiday means I get to rest, I get to do what I want, I can just have some R&R. That's what a holiday is, right? Just to kick back, relax, do nothing. But you know, you realize it's more than a holiday, isn't it? It's a holy day. We remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a holy day. Let me ask you, does the thought of Jesus on a... Does the thought of Jesus as a baby still bring a sense of wonder into your mind? Because, you know, sometimes we think, oh yeah, Jesus, we see Jesus on a manger as a baby, and oh, that's cute. Is that all that really? That is such a cute scene? No, we got to remember, he humbled himself. He's God. Jesus is God. He's the Son of God. He humbled himself, come down in the form of a baby child. Just think about that for a second, and then you kind of realize, wow, he did that for me. That will bring back that sense of wonder. You know, several years ago in a subway in Washington, D.C., a man picked up his violin and he started to play six pieces from this German composer. You guys heard of Johann Bach? And he played for like 45 minutes. He just played 45 minutes straight. And it was a cold and busy Monday morning, and it was estimated that usually 1,100 people would go through the station on their way to work. And hardly anyone, though, stopped to take notice of this violinist, except for a few children that kind of turned back and just kind of give him a stare as they would walk on by, and only giving them just a few seconds of their attention. But as they did, their moms would just kind of drag them off. Come on, Harry, let's go. And, you know, some people threw money into his open violin case, and he managed to collect $32 after playing 45 minutes on his violin. And you know what? No one applauded, nor there was any recognition. And you know what? No one knew this, but this violinist, his name is Joshua Bell. He's one of the most talented musicians in the world. And he had just played one of the most intricate, most difficult pieces ever written on a violin that's worth $3.5 million. And 2 days before playing in the subway, Joshua Bell had played to a sold-out crowd in Boston where the seats average about $100 each. And Joshua Bell admitted that this little social experiment, to which he readily agreed with this journalist to do, he said, you know what, I wasn't comfortable at all doing this. In fact, he says, it was pretty painful as people would totally ignore him during the playing of a piece, and especially when he ended. There was no applause. No one paid attention to him. It's like, oh, big deal. And doesn't this remind you sometimes of our Lord Jesus Christ during Christmas? Because even in the awesomeness of God's great beauty and splendor, we sometimes fail to recognize who our wonderful God is. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. We forget because we get caught up in the things of the world. And we got to remember, let's set our hearts and minds on Jesus. That's what the season is all about. Look what it says here in Isaiah 53, 1 to 3. It says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground." What it says here, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." The prophet Isaiah is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Jesus was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem." Wow. Have we done that? Totally ignore our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, here's something you can do to marvel once again with the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you can do? Just pick one of the Christmas characters and put yourself in their sandals. Imagine what it would have been like to witness the Christmas story firsthand. Go ahead, pick one. Whether it be Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna, or the wise man. You know, you can just start reading Matthew and Luke chapters 1 and 2 and just imagine what it would have been like to be in their sandals. Right now, I want to play this video for you. The title of the song is called Breath of Heaven. It's also called Song of Mary. Can you just imagine what Mary, what she would have been thinking during this time when the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "You shall be carrying child of God." I want you to watch this video. Just imagine, this is Mary singing this song. Imagine what she would be saying during this time. Listen, can you go and play that video?
As you watch my face.
Praise God. Doesn't it bring a sense of wonder when you start thinking about the reality of what Mary and Joseph were going through, knowing that they were doing this because the angel of the Lord has spoken to them, realizing that Jesus was born in an animal coat. An angel, yes, which is an animal coat. And he did it because of his great love for you and for me. Let's bring back that sense of wonder. Don't let it die, brothers and sisters. Bring back that sense of wonder, realizing this is what our Savior, our Messiah, this is what he did for you and for me. Or number two here, he says, move quickly and willingly when the Holy Spirit tells you to move. I want you to look at what it says here in Luke 2:27. It says, move by the Spirit, that's Simeon, right? Simeon went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. And then we look at verse 38. It says, coming up to them at that very moment, Anna gave thanks to God. And we have to realize, both Simeon and Anna, they were ready to take action when the Holy Spirit moved them to greet and welcome the Savior child. And, you know, the question is, has the Holy Spirit moved something in your heart? Not just during this Christmas time. Whenever the Holy Spirit moves something in your heart, do you respond? Or do we sometimes just kind of brush it aside? Because I got to tell you, actually, every one of the Christmas characters responded to the Spirit's leading, with the exception of Herod. And we find in Luke 1:38, this is what Mary says when the angel appeared to her. She says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. See, she moved. She says, I know this is God. And she said, may your word to me be fulfilled. She didn't question it. She just said, Lord, I know it's you. I'm gone. Whatever you ask. And we also know that Joseph demonstrated that he was a mover when he woke up from his dream. And this is what it says in Matthew 1:24. It says, Joseph did what the angel of the Lord had commanded and took Mary home as his wife. Did he move? Yes, he did. As the Holy Spirit spoke it into him, he moved. And we know the shepherds were also ready to move as well. It says in Luke 2:15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See, they were saying, let's go to Bethlehem now. Let's check it out. They moved. And the wise men saw the star and decided they had to find the baby Messiah. Look what it says here in Matthew 2:2. It says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, have come to worship him. You got to understand, their travel was like a couple years, 2-3 years. And Jesus was a toddler. He wasn't a baby. Actually, that's what the Bible tells us. He wasn't, you know, a little baby when the wise men came. And the Bible clearly tells us this. He was more like a toddler. And they came actually to his house. You don't believe me? Go look. Look in Luke chapter 2. That's what he tells us. And, you know, here's the thing. When God moves your heart to do something, we got to make like that sports slogan, that Nike. What do they say?
Just do it.
Don't question it today. Or is it really God? Maybe a little more prayer is what I need. Maybe I got to fast. Maybe I got to do this, got to do that. Oh, I don't know if this is really God. You know, sometimes you know the Holy Spirit is moving. You know it's God. You just do it. And you will be blessed. Because that's how the Holy Spirit will speak to us, as he had done with these people also. And he moves it in your heart to help someone do it. And you're going to see that the Holy Spirit will continually instruct you what you need to do so that you can truly experience the peace and love and joy of the Lord, because that's what he wants us to do. And you know, for some of us, you know, the Lord may be calling you to salvation today. A little bit later on, I'm going to be leading you in this prayer that will ask Jesus to come into your heart. And I got to tell you, I remember before I became a Christian, I went to a church service, and I remember for the longest time, I didn't want to go up. As the pastor said, oh, if you want to receive Jesus, come on up. And for the longest time, I remember, I went to the church service because my friend invited me. I was in college. And you know what? I just said, nah, I don't want it. I knew the Holy Spirit was moving in my heart. But I remember this one time where it was so strong in my heart. The Holy Spirit says, oh, man, I want you in my family. Come, receive me today. I remember it was just a tugging in my heart. And I said, Lord, I'm going. I remember, I got to tell you, in those days, I was kind of like, you know, kind of like with a macho attitude. And, you know, I just felt like, man, I don't want anybody to see me. And, you know, I was one that really didn't want to let people see me cry. I tell you, I was going up that walkway, tears were just streaming down my eyes. And I was saying, Jesus, I need you. And I was crying like a baby. And it was a tugging of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart today, receive Him, because He loves you. He wants to bless you, but you got to receive Him first. And you know, for others, God might be telling you to forgive a friend or a loved one from your past. He just might be telling you that today. You've been holding on and saying, no, Lord, I can't do that. The hurt is too big. The Lord may be saying, no, do it. So that you can truly experience freedom, that you can truly experience the peace that you've been longing for. You must let go. Give a call to that long lost loved one that you've been estranged to. Just call them up and say, how you doing? You're going to find peace. The peace of God that will sit on your heart because you're doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Or you may be sensing that the Holy Spirit wants you to be more involved in serving people. Because I got to tell you, when it comes to serving others, that's when you're going to start to mature in the things of God. Because I remember for the longest time, I just sat in the back row of my church thinking, this is all I got to do every Sunday morning. Just go to church, sit in the back, listen to the message, and I'm good. I got to tell you, I didn't grow as a Christian. I still struggled with sin, and I still kind of wondered, how come I'm not maturing in my faith? It's not until I started serving. When I say, Lord, whatever you ask, I want to do. When I put my heart upon God and I was willing to do things for other people, not for myself, that's when I experienced the joy of the Lord and His fullness. That's when I realized, man, I'm growing in my faith. It's when you realize it's not about you. When you put your heart upon others, that's when you're going to start growing. Because whatever it is, whatever the Holy Spirit is causing you in your heart to have a stir in your heart to move, He'll speak it right into your heart. And the worst thing you can do, you know what? The worst thing you can do is procrastinate. You say, oh, okay, maybe tomorrow or some other time. I just don't have the time. I don't have the energy. Not right now. And guess what? Tomorrow comes, nothing happens. The next day comes, nothing happens. Next day comes, nothing happens. And you know what? You may just miss out on a miracle this Christmas if we keep putting it off. We say, now, Lord, I'm going to do it because you're calling me to do it. I'll do it. Just watch how the blessings of the Lord will just come upon your life. You know, there's this movie that's very popular during this time of the year. And it's one that many people watch. You've probably heard of this movie, A Christmas Carol. And some of you go, wow, Christmas Carol, I never heard of that. Well, just one word and you will know, Scrooge. Now you know the movie, right? That's the name of the movie, A Christmas Carol. And there's this one scene that always fascinates me. You know, there's this ghost of Christmas past, because you know these different ghosts appear to Ebenezer Scrooge, right? And the ghost of Christmas past has just paid a very discomforting visit to Ebenezer Scrooge. And you know, clearly the old miser is pretty shaken up by the entire ordeal. Imagine if the ghost appears to you late at night. I mean, really. But when he awakens from his sleep, do you think the message that was given by this ghost of Christmas past, do you think this message touched his heart? No. He simply dismisses it by saying what? Bah, humbug!
It wasn't real. Just a bit of last night's indigested beef, he says to himself. There is more gravy about you than the grave. You kind of wonder, what does that mean? There's more gravy about you than the grave. I don't know, but did he take this vision to heart, or did he just dismiss it as simple indigestion? What I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, is there's going to be a move of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Because remember, when you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says Jesus makes residence in your heart. He makes your heart his home. So you're going to experience this. I guarantee you, if you say you really love Jesus, if Jesus is present in your life, you will have the move of the Holy Spirit that's tugging at you, kind of saying, go, go. And you got to respond. If you know it's the Lord, you must say, yes, Lord. And you're going to see how the Lord will just direct you. He will show you what you need to do. Because that's what he does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our counselor. Look what it says here in Galatians 6, 8 through 10. It tells us here, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing what?
Good.
In doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So you got to understand, it tells us, whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So we know the Holy Spirit, he's always telling us, showing us what we need to do to make a difference in someone else's life. He's going to tell you, but the thing is, it doesn't really matter until you make a decision to say, yes, Lord, I'm doing that. Because he'll keep on talking to you, but if you're not going to move, guess what? Nothing's going to happen. And you're going to stay right where you are and kind of, you're going to wonder, why am I so miserable, Lord? And the Holy Spirit is saying, probably it's because you're not moving when I tell you to. We listen to that voice. We embrace that voice of God. And as he says, move, you move. God will only lead you to those paths of righteousness, those paths that will bring forth greater blessings. Amen. Well, number three here, it says, become a messenger of the Christmas message. Become a messenger of the Christmas message. You know, it just seems like the more we marvel about Jesus, when we just start thinking about the realness of who Jesus is, the very fact of what Mary and Joseph, what they did in that long travel. You know, when we can marvel about our Lord Jesus, the more we are more likely to move when the Holy Spirit touches our heart. Because when that happens, we will not stop telling the whole world about Jesus Christ. So as you marvel, you're going to move. And as you move, you're going to say, Lord, I want to tell more people about you. Yes. It starts with marveling. Yes. You just let that wonder just go right into your mind and right into your heart. And say, Lord, I marvel. Starts there. And as you move, oh, you're just going to say, Lord, more. It's not enough, Lord. I got to do more good, Lord. Show me, Lord. You're going to get excited about it. Because look what it says here in Luke 2:38. It's in your notes. It says, she, Anna, gave thanks to God. And what did she do?
Spoke
about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She spoke about the child. Let me ask you, have you spoke about the child? About Jesus this season? Because that's what we should be doing. Are you talking about Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? We should be talking about Jesus. That's what Anna did. She spoke about the child. She had this gladness, this joy in her heart. She couldn't contain herself. She had to tell someone about the good news about Jesus Christ. And that she did. And let me ask you, are you ready to speak about the God child that has dramatically changed your life? The one and only Messiah that can bring forth comfort and forgiveness in a world that is so lost and confused.
Would you agree with me that our world seems like it's pretty lost? And you kind of wonder, man, is it ever going to get better? It just seems like morality is just non-existent. And everything is just turned upside down. And we realize we got to hold on to Jesus even tighter. Because God wants us to become a messenger of the Christmas story. He's sending you and he's sending me to go out in the world and tell the world about Jesus Christ. To introduce others to the Christ of Christmas. Remember, it's not Xmas. It's Christmas. Christmas is about Christ. So that they in turn can find out what they've been waiting for. Because a lot of them, they will ask the question, what is the meaning of life anyway? They're scratching their heads and why am I here? You tell them you're here because of the great love of the Lord God. He put you here on this earth for a reason. And as you answer your call, you're going to see you have much purpose in this life. We got to do as the Holy Spirit tells us. Because without any doubt, Christmas is a marvelous, moving message. You got to get excited about this message that we're giving out to the world. You got to have excitement in your heart about it. And we can't keep quiet about it. Because once you have the Son, let me tell you have everything. Let me say that again. Once you have the Son, you have everything. I got to tell you about this story. It's a true story. Many years ago, there was this wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting with his son. And they had a collection of priceless works by Picasso and Van Gogh. You guys heard of them? And their paintings were adorning the walls of their family estate. I mean, these paintings are worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. But you know, as winter approached, war engulfed their nation, and the young man, the son, had to leave to serve his country. And after only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram informing him that his son had just died. And he was so distraught and he was lonely. And the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and such sadness. The joy of the season had vanished with the death of his son. On Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. And as he walked to the door, the masterpieces that were on his walls only reminded him that his son wasn't coming home. He started shedding some tears. And as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hands who says, "Sir, I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died." And he says, "May I come in for a few moments? I got something to show you." The soldier mentioned that he was an artist, and he gave the old man the package that he was carrying. And inside the package was a portrait of the man's son. And though the world would never consider it a work of a genius, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. And overcome with emotion, the elderly man hung the portrait over his fireplace, pushing aside all the $1 million worth of art. Suddenly, it become like worthless to them. He said, "I just want to put my son up there." And with his task completed, the old man sat in his chair and spent Christmas just gazing at the gift that was just given to him. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession, and everything else he owned just seemed to be worthless. And you know, the following spring, the old man died. And you know, the art world, they waited with anticipation for the upcoming auction because all these works would be auctioned off. And according to the will of the old man, all the artworks would be auctioned off on Christmas Day, the day he received the greatest gift. The day soon arrived, and the art collectors from all over the world now, they came to the estate, and they gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. One painting would cost like a couple $1 million. And the auction began with a painting that was not on anyone's museum list. Guess what it was? It was a painting of the man's son.
And the auctioneer asked for an opening bid, but the room was silent, dead silence. Nobody said anything. And the auctioneer says, "Who will open the bidding with $100? No one spoke. And finally someone said, "Hey man, who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's move on to the good stuff." And the auctioneer responded, "No, we have to sell this one first. Now, who will take the son?" Finally, a neighbor of the old man offered $10.
Oh.
He says, "Man, that's all I got. I knew the boy, so I'd like to have it." And the auctioneer said, "Okay. No one else is going to bid. Going once, going twice, gone." The gavel fell. And chairs filled the room as someone exclaimed, "Oh, now we can bid on the real treasures." And the auctioneer looked at the room filled with people and announced that the auction was now over. Everyone was stunned, and someone spoke up and said, "Hey, what do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a painting of someone's son. There are millions of dollars worth of art here. What's going on?" The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son takes it all." And his neighbor took it all. Unreal, yeah? But putting things in perspective, doesn't this message ring a bell in your heart? Realizing this is what Christmas is all about. Because of the Father's love, whoever takes the Son, guess what? Takes it all. Well, you take Jesus Christ as Christmas.
Yes.
Because you know what? You're invited to a birthday party. This Wednesday, we know it's December 25th. And we don't know exactly when the birth of Jesus is. Some people speculate it's either September or October. But we know this is the day that represents the birth of Christ. And you know what? It's his party, isn't it? It's the party of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to give you a present. Isn't that awesome? You know what that present is? You know what that gift is? You got it, brother. Himself. The Son. You take the Son, you take it all. You take all of his blessing. You take eternal life. You take all the miracles that God wants to pour forth in your life. Because that's what he wants to do. Will you take Jesus today? Because he wants you. And he says, "I'm giving myself to you." Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. Father, we just want to tell you, we remember Jesus Christ this season, Lord. It's a holy day for us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift of all, your Son. And Father, for myself and all my brothers and sisters here, we can truly say, Lord, we take your Son. And we want to take it all from you. All the blessings that you want to pour forth in our lives. We want to take it all. Because that's what you want to do. You want to give it all for us. And we say, thank you, Lord. Now you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've been a Christian for a while. And I've been telling people that I'm a believer. But I kind of look back in my life and I kind of realize that I haven't been taking it all. Even though I say I believe in Jesus, I haven't been really showing that in the way I've been living. Know that God says, when you just come to me with a heart that's willing to repent, that's willing to make things right, God says, I will come in. My hand will come and direct you. My hand will come and guide you into those paths of righteousness, into those paths of greater blessings. All you got to do, child, God would say, is just believe in me. Take my Son and put him in your heart, so that you can truly live a life that is victorious. Now, if that's you, if you know the Holy Spirit is moving in you right now, he's tugging in your heart and say, you know what, make things right. Do as
the Holy Spirit tells you, whether it be showing forgiveness towards someone, or whether it be just wanting to give of your life fully unto Him and serving Him in a way that you know your life will be truly devoted to Him. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart. Oh, don't dismiss it. This is a true moving of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And if that's you, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Oh, I want to be moved by the Holy Spirit, and I want to do as He tells me. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Say, that's me, Lord. I give all of me unto You. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And I pray, Father, as we take in the words that we have just heard, I pray, Lord, we're going to be so vibrant in living our lives as followers of Christ. I pray, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, just come and just fill our mind, our souls, and the spirits just with more of You. As we choose to live a life that is holy and pure unto You, I just pray, Lord, You're going to just charge us up. Let there be an overflowing of Your goodness in our lives. We praise You, Lord, for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart, deep within your soul. You're saying, Lord, I want to give my life to You. And as you sincerely say this to God, He knows your heart. And if you're ready and willing to give of yourself fully to Him, I got to tell you, He's going to welcome you into His family today. Because the Bible tells us you become a child of God when you receive His Son Jesus. When you take His Son Jesus and say, Lord, I'm living for You. Now, if you're ready and you're willing, this is the greatest gift. I got to tell you, if you never made a decision for God, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus, this is the best present you could ever give God. You give Him your life. And if you are ready, you're willing, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. Lord, I give You my heart. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Hallelujah. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Just pray this prayer and pray it after me and really mean it from your heart. Just repeat after me. Say, Father God, I need You. And I give You praise for who You are. I believe in You. And I believe in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give You praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But Your word says, if I confess of my sins, You are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto You. So now I say this, so You can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me. And so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him. And I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in Your book of life. For I give You praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory to God.